Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jennifer, for praying us in as well. Praise God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Amen. We come to you, Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday with our cups open, full, empty. They're empty, wanting you to fill our cups until they run over, God. We come to him today with all of our situations, our issues, our hopes, our dreams, our propensities. God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. What a blessing it is. The scriptures say, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. And I've heard it said that where there's unity, there's strength. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I thank God for liberty today. I thank God for freedom today. Amen. Freedom to worship him. Freedom to worship him openly in the house of the Lord when there's people all across this globe who are hiding behind locked doors because of their faith in Christ. And he has blessed us to be able to openly come into the house of the Lord and to worship him. We are blessed beyond measure. Amen. So good afternoon to all of the precious people of God. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. No place I'd rather be. And sometimes we don't think about it, you know. All this prison ministry you hear us talking about, it's a blessing to be free in the house of the Lord. You hear us talking about the homeless shelters, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. You hear us talking about those who are on the street corners and over on the overpasses and in the riverbed. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today, to give him glory, to give him honor, to give him praise. And that's why we worship him. That's why we thank him. Amen. So God bless you today. And we're gonna look at the first chapter of James on today. And how many of you heard it said that let go and let God.
Yes.
Have anybody heard that?
Yes.
It's a Christian cliche, you know. We speak Christianese sometimes. And sometimes folks have no clue what we're talking about. And so I don't want to talk about let go and let God, because first of all, we can't let God do nothing.
All right.
He is God. He's God all by himself. And I don't let him do anything. He lets me. He allow me to breathe. He allow me to walk and to talk. So I don't. I'm out of the business of trying to let go and let God. But today I want to talk about let go and watch God work. See, if we learn how to let go of some things, we'll see God working in our life. We'll see him working on our behalf. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're going to look like, you know. And matter of fact, come to my heart and my mind in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let, we're going to be talking about some letters today. It said, and let us, and let the peace of God, thank you, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, let the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, in which we're all called to one body. And it says, be ye thankful. How many thankful today? Amen. For the peace of God. See, it wasn't that, I'm saying, God, I'm going to let you give me peace. His peace is already there. His peace is already available. So Paul said, let you, sir, you, ma'am, allow the peace of God to rule in your heart in the midst of confusion, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of heartaches and pain. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Amen. Amen. We have to, there's some things we have to allow in our lives, because in my natural self, I'll be holding on to stuff. I don't know about y'all, but I'm holding on to stuff sometime I should have let go a long time ago. And if I let it go, I can watch God work. I can see God moving in the situation. Praise the Lord. I mean, here we are. We're blessed beyond measure. We have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hey, that's the springboard for us to just trust him. But it's learned behavior. Living for God is learned behavior. You know, I don't know about y'all. I might be 73 now, but I'm still learning. I think I'm on a learning curve. I think I'm learning more than I've ever learned in my life. And God wants us to get it. That's why what we're disciples. We are followers of Christ. Amen. He's leading us, and he's leading us to a better place. He's leading us into a better life. He's leading us into a life of trust and faith and hope in him in the midst of all of our trials today.
All right.
You know, Sandy mentioned, and we'll get into the word, but Sandy mentioned the shelter on last Sunday. Mm-hmm. It, you're talking about heart-wrenching. You know, we hadn't seen this little baby in almost a year. And that's the one we testified months ago that she said, I'm four, period. That was her age. But she's back. Sandy said, her and her father's back, and now there's a caregiver with her because the father worked. And this baby, 5 years old, that's homeless, living in the shelter, she was just crying, and she was 5 years old, and she was weeping, and she said, my heart hurts so bad. I had no idea what was going on. She said, my heart hurts really bad. She said, my heart is broken, 5 years old. See, we have so much to be thankful for. And I didn't know why the baby was crying, because she was a different baby now than she was 8 months ago. 8 months ago, she was all over the place playing and just so smart. And now, at 5 years old, she's saying things that you don't normally hear a five-year-old say. It hurt so bad. Found out her mom had died. 5 years old, homeless, in a shelter. This is real life we're dealing with. And there's some things deeper and deeper and deeper that we all may face at some time or may be facing now. And we got to learn how to let some stuff go. How to work, that we can watch God work. Because I can speak from a man's perspective more than I can from the women's perspective. But man's perspective, we be trying to fix stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in our DNA. I got this. Look, the kid playing ball and say, I got it. I don't got it. You know, ball dropped right behind him. You know, we have to learn to let some things go. You know, I remember, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, you know, my mother raised us and my dad was nowhere around. And so she was very protective of us. So I'd never learned how to swim. She had gave us swimming lessons, had allowed us to go to the pool in our little small town for lessons. My sister coughed. My mother said, that's it. Everybody out of the pool. So time goes forward. Now I'm in the Air Force. And I'm in basic training, and it's the obstacle course. Now it comes to this big pool of water and this rope. You're standing on the rope, and you're holding on the rope this way. And they moving the rope. I can't swim, though. I am not going to let go. I mean, when I let that rope go, and I made it to the other side, my hands, I couldn't hardly open them. If I had a let go, I might could have seen God work, and I might have been like Bruce Jenner now, you know. See, but in life, we need to learn how to let some things go. And God has an antidote for everything that we're going through. Let go and watch God work. Let's look at James chapter 1. We'll start at verse 2. You know, James here, who wrote this book, he is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, not James the disciple that we read in the Gospels, but this is James, this is Jesus' half-brother. See, there was brothers and sisters after Jesus was born to Mary, praise God. And so it had been a lot of persecution toward the church at this time, the early church. They didn't have everything that we have now. And they were having some hard times. Some of us are having hard times today. And I don't want to take a poll. I don't want everybody to raise your hand, right? But I believe some of us are dealing with some hard things. You know, and God wants to teach us how to let go and watch him work. What does that mean? That means there's gonna have to be some trust in the Lord. It's going to have to be, our faith is going to have to be placed in him. Because I don't know about you, but some stuff is too heavy for me to bear. I have a daughter and grandchildren 3,000 miles away, and there's things I'd like to say to them and do for them, and I can't do it because of the distance. But I have to learn how to let it go and give it to the Lord. I'll watch him work, and guess what? He's working it out. He is working it out, and I am so grateful. So in this passage, say, my brethren here, I'm reading out the New King James Version, and that means sister in too. All right, that's a generic term. That means men and women, all right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And it's a comma. I'm glad that that's not the end of the story, because that doesn't quite compute, right, in our natural mind. You know, trials, tribulations, persecutions, life being hard and tight. But my brethren mean those who are in Christ. It means those who are born again, those who have made their calling and election sure. Though it's talking to those who are singing a new song saying, goodbye world, I'm gone. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm in the kingdom of God now. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. He's my father. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He didn't say if you're going to fall into some various trials. See, sometime on your job, you can be doing everything right and still be in the glass house like you've done something wrong. You know, he didn't say if, but he said when. When you fall into various trials, temptations, tests, count it all joy. How do I do that? After the comma, it's in verse 3, it says, knowing. We need to know something about this great God we serve. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God has a purpose and a plan for everything that he does or allowed to happen. Romans 8 and 28, right? Write it down if you got a pencil. It says, for we know, there it is again, who is the we? Those who love Jesus, those who are born again. For we know that, and it says like this, that all things work together for good for them who love God. That's the prerequisite, right? And who are called according to his purpose. Man, that is right, and that is God, and that is God's word. And it says, so knowing that the test, we need to know that this trial I'm going through is testing at my faith, but it's going to produce patience. We need some patience. I don't know about y'all, but it ain't a four-letter word, but it sure sound like one sometimes. Be patient. What? I want it now. I want it right now. Shoot. You're back in the day, see, some of y'all way too young. When we would cook popcorn, mm-hmm. we'd put a little grease lard in the skillet, put the kernels in there, put a top on it, and start shaking it. Anybody remember that? Just me. Okay. And it started pop, pop, pop. And we couldn't wait. Couldn't wait. The house smelling like popcorn. It's still popping. But now, you can't pay nobody to do that. You go to Costco and you get that big old box of microwave popcorn. And it used to be, you take, I'm talking about patience. It used to be, okay, you put it in the microwave and you hit time cook in 3 minutes and push start. Now it's a popcorn button. And so some of these things have hindered our patience in life because we want everything right now. Instant gratification right now. Instant solution to every one of my problems right now. Instant solution for my husband or my wife to line up now. line up with what? With you? You know, or with God's plan? All right, knowing that the testing, this is important, the testing, the trying of your faith, it's going to produce something. It's going to produce patience. We need to learn to wait on God. I believe the last part of Psalms 27 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And he said again, wait, I say, upon the Lord. Why do God say something more than one time? It's because he wants us to get it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But, okay, in these passages, we're going to look at verse 2 through 8, and there is four lets in there. Four times let is mentioned. Let go and watch God work. That is not natural now. That's supernatural. We have to learn to do that. Verse 4 say, but let patience. What's happening now? Count it all joy when you fall into divers and different temptations and trials. And it said, and the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, so your faith is being tested. It's providing, it's bringing forth patience. Patience is available. It's there. It's for us to grow in. But then it say, but let. Here's another let. But let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect and complete. The perfect means mature. That we are growing up and have grown in Christ. Amen? Anybody in here stronger today than you were a year ago? I do want to take a poll now. How about a little hand? If you don't raise it too high, just like this. You know. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, listen to this, and complete, lacking nothing. Not talking about lacking money and lacking prestige, lacking nothing in Christ, because all of our hope, all of our future, all of our everything is wrapped up in Christ, and we can be complete in him, because I'm telling you, he's the God who heals broken hearts. He's the God who lifts the hung down head. Yes. He is the God who repairs crushed spirits. Yes. Why? Because he's in us and we are in him. It's very important today to know who we are in Christ. I'm not in a bodacious way, not like I'm better than anybody else, but I need to be and understand who I am in Christ and who he says that I am.
That's right.
It's so very important. He says that you will be complete, lacking nothing. All of my needs are met in Christ Jesus. What a blessing it is. We have to learn sometime how to endure some things. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He said, you're going to have some hard times. If Jesus said it, hello. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, some trials, some hard times. He said, but he didn't stop there. He said, but, that conjunction. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Oh, we need to learn how to let go and watch God work. I don't know about y'all, but we be trying to fix this stuff. No, I got a plan. No, I got a hookup. I know somebody. You know what? If God don't help you, you are not going to be helped. He's in verse 5, he's saying, and listen, he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of us is short in wisdom, don't know how to deal with things, don't know how to disseminate even things of God, it takes some acknowledgement to know that I'm lacking in wisdom in some areas. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, here's another let number two, let him or her ask of God. Don't be too proud. Don't be too puffed up to admit, God, I don't know what to do. God, I need your wisdom in this. It's over my head. Have anybody been in a situation that's over your head? and you don't know how this thing is going to turn out, and you know it could get real bad, and you're hoping that it's going to work out just fine, God, I need your wisdom, Lord. I need your help in this moment in my life. God, and you remember, he said, all these trials is going to produce some patience in you, and then let patience have a perfect work in you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And what would God do? Who gives to all of us that wisdom liberally. He said, how much you want? Whoop, whoop, here it is. Because you're asking, God has said, I'm going to give you the wisdom. And I got an illustration I'm going to show you in Scripture with King Solomon. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Anything that God says, any promise that God gives, you can take it to the bank. If God said he'll do it, he's going to do it. I wish I had a witness in the house today. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. I'm a witness. I'm a witness to myself. I know he'll do it. I've seen him do it. Thank you, God. And verse 6 say, but here it is again, let. Let go and watch God work. Here in verse 6, but let him ask in faith. So if we're asking for wisdom of God in our situations, it need to be in faith. It need to be believing that God is going to do it. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. I have been guilty at many times in my life, knowing what the word says, knowing that I have believed God for my salvation. But sometimes some situations come up, and I'm kind of doubting. And I'm asking God to help me in those areas, in those times. And guess what? He does. And every time God brings us out of something, it ought to strengthen us for the next battle to come. He said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Listen to this, because God wants us to get the whole picture. Ask in faith and not doubting. And why is that? He said, for the one who doubts, the one who really kind of wishy-washy, the one who kind of wanted both ways, natural and spiritual, he says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. Y'all know what that is. In and out. Sometimes shallow, sometimes big. And he said, it's like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. I don't want to be like that. God, I want you to solidify me. God, I want you to do some things in me that I've seen you do in men and women in the Bible who were facing great opposition, and God, you stepped in. Job was on his deathbed, on his bed of affliction, and he said, I know my Redeemer lives. There's some things we need to know about this great God we serve. He's able to do the impossible. Somebody composed a song, say, I see the invisible. I feel the intangible. I'm looking for a miracle each and every day. And guess what? It ain't the lottery. It ain't nothing like it's if I get the mirror and look at it, I see a miracle because God has brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. He said, I don't want to be tossed like and driven with the wind. He said, for let not that man, that's the last let in this. If I'm doubting, if I'm wavering, what should I expect from God? I'm giving it to God. I'm letting it go to him, but do I believe? Am I going to be still and watch God work it out? Or do I want it right now? Do I want some results? Do I want everybody that's been acting crazy to line up now? Or do I find myself praying for them? And guess what? Prayer is going to change me a lot of time before it changed the situation. You know, oh God, this one over here, that one over there, this situation over here. But if I'm earnestly seeking God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, praying to my Father in the name of Jesus and believing what I'm crying out to him for, then I can apply that Psalm 46 and 10, be still. Stop striving. Stop trying to make it and let it go. He said, be still and know that I am God. Excuse me. Let me finish this up. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why am I going through all of these changes if I'm not believing it? It's time to believe God, church. He say that person is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. I don't want to be that person. I want God to stabilize me. I want God to be the center of my joy. I want God to show me how to love my wife and my children and my neighbors and those in the household. Thank you, brother. I want more. How about you? I want more of God. I want to learn how to let go and watch God work. See, let it go. Because if you let it go, you know, Moses, he let it go and he watched God work. God said, Moses, what's that in your hand, man? I know these people driving you crazy. I know you're supposed to be taking them to the promised land. I know they're complaining. And I know Pharaoh's behind you. But stretch out your rod. And he obeyed God. And God parted the Red Sea. There's some things in this same book of James. I believe it's the 19th verse. And this will help us to let go of some things. Because I'm telling you, our natural person, natural me, don't want to let some things go. So the 19th verse says, be swift to hear. Let me say that again. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Now, y'all know, we pretty much do that backwards. Because I know everything. Listen, y'all just be quiet and listen to me. No, lady, husband, wife, just shut up and listen to me. You know, I got it all down. And you don't really need to say nothing. No. The scriptures say, be swift to hear. All right. Slow to speak. Get this one now. Get this one. And slow to get angry. Anybody ever have a problem with that? Anybody, first of all, getting mad first. And then talk first. And might listen down the road. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness in his word. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why? Because he says in that same verse of James 1:19, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'm going to make everybody in the family line up because I'm mad. They ain't going to line up with you. They might just sit there and don't say nothing. But how much better to just love like God loves us, to give grace and mercy like God has given to us. Let go and watch God work. You know, we talked about if any man is lacking in wisdom, let him ask of God. What do that look like? What do God's wisdom look like? Think about James 3:17. He say, but the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that is from God is, first of all, pure. It's a whole lot of undefiled stuff around here today. But the wisdom of God is pure. And not only is it pure, it says, then peaceable. The wisdom of God is peaceable. It's not bodacious. His wisdom is not angry. His wisdom is not puffed up. His wisdom is first pure, then peaceable. Get this. Then gentle. Are we praying? He said, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God. God said, here it is. Now, do we want it or not? Do we want that wisdom that's pure? Do we want that wisdom that's peaceable? Do we want that wisdom that's gentle? Do we want, and it goes on to say, willing to yield. You've seen the yellow signs on the road. Now, I know some people don't pay them no attention, especially in these roundabouts. Why they put roundabouts up, I don't know. It's worse than four-way stop signs. It's probably just me. All you need at the four-way stop sign is one person. Don't go when it's their turn. You know, the yield to the right of way. All you need is one person to say, not me. Now all traffic is blocked. The scripture says, gentle, willing to yield. I got a couple things I'm going to share. We're going to be done. Willing to yield. Listen to this wisdom that comes from God. And this is James 3 and 17. Mm-hmm. It's full of mercy. It's full of mercy. Why is it that sometimes we want justice for other people, but we want mercy for ourselves? They wronged me. God, get them. God, I blew it. Mercy, please. You know, he says this wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. It's not showing it here and not over there, and without hypocrisy. So there's a couple of instances I want to share, and I would be done, but of people who have learned and had learned to let go. You know, John said all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what this humanness of us is. We can't get enough of nothing, right? And so King David was a great and awesome king, and he had a son named Solomon who God had placed over his people. Now, when you're the king of a nation or a group of nations, you have some clout. You have some authority. You can almost have whatever you want. And so now he's been installed as king over God's people. And this great God we serve, he asked him a question. He said, son, now that I've made you king, what do you want? How many of us can God give a blank check to? Well, let me see. What's that new Tesla? Where is that house up on the hill? Where's all them things and folks I'd never had? But when you're in God, when you understand who he is, when stuff takes, it looks kind of different now out of the lens you have. So God asked him, and I will go to the scripture, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 through 12, God had asked him, what do you want? And here's his answer to God. He said, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart. Y'all hear this real good. An understanding heart to judge your people, God. And listen to what he said. He said, now, God, this is what I want, that I may discern between good and evil. Nowhere you hear him asking God for stuff, for things, to right now gratification. He said, here's Solomon saying, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Do any of us feel that way sometimes? Your father over at your home, evangelist on the evangelist field, a praise and worship and preaching leader, ministering to God's people, pastor of a church, like little old me, who God called a pastor at 61 years old when everybody else is retiring, knowing that what God was doing was bigger than me, knowing that when God called this ministry out, I didn't say, yes, I'm going to be a pastor. I was like, whoa, this is so enormous. God, these are your people. God, it's a heavy task, God. I don't know what to say or do. And so instead of being 6'3", I was like, whoop, when I felt the enormity of the burden of trying just to minister to God's precious people. And so this is kind of where wherever you are and wherever your ministry is taking you, he said, for who is able to judge this great people of yours, God? And listen what the Bible say. This speech pleased the Lord. How many want to please God? Now listen, I'm talking about letting go, right? Of all of the stuff that he could have held on to, he just wanted wisdom. He just wanted understanding to minister and to lead God's people. And this pleased the Lord. I've heard some of my contemporaries say, I tell my people this. I'm like, whoa. Did anybody ever see that movie with Whitney Houston in it? And it was the church scene thing. What was it called? The preacher's wife. And so the angel was there in the person of Denzel Washington. And the pastor of the church had got kind of jealous because he think his wife, Whitney, was kind of looking toward this man. He didn't know his angel. And so he had an angel book with him. And they got to a heat, and the pastor took the angel book and threw it in the fireplace. And the angel said, ooh, you gonna get it? We need to make sure we don't get it, that we really do get it, what God want it to be in our lives. Let me finish. Then the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, enemies, let go, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, God said, I have done according to your words. What? I asked for wisdom, and God said, I've done it. I've asked for understanding. God said, I've done it. Remember, God's wisdom is peaceable, and it's lovely, and it's quiet, and it don't make noise. He said, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Oh, my God. Can you imagine Solomon hearing this? He prayed, and God said, I hear you. God said, I'm giving it to you. And matter of fact, I don't think it was down the road. Right then, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him and gave him an understanding heart. Wow. And so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I would believe, I would submit to you that applies to everyone in here too. When we pray, God, make me new, God, change my life, God, show me what you want me to do, God will do that, and we'll never be, and we'll be like nobody else. We'll be who God has created us to be. Remember Peter the fisherman? Remember Peter the loudmouth guy? Remember the disciples who followed Jesus? And it came a time where Jesus came out to them on the boat. I'm about to close this thing out. We got to let go and watch God work. Peter was a fisherman, which means he knew water. He knew how to fish. He knew how to drive the boat. He knew all of the, from his own understanding, there's some things he knew about the water. Like me on that thing, on that rope, I knew I don't want to go in the water. I'm going to hold on tight. Sometime, we're going to see this with Peter, sometime you got to let go and watch God work. How much do we love him? How much do we trust him? How much do we need him? Are we willing to step out of the boat? Listen to this. So here the disciples is on the boat in the middle of the night, 3:00 in the morning, and they think they see a ghost. But it's Jesus walking on the water. The Sea of Galilee or whatever sea it was, Jesus was walking on the water. Okay, compute brain. Okay, it ain't a ghost, it's Jesus, and he's walking on the water. And so they are petrified. Sometimes there's some things that come that can petrify us, that can scare, that can shake our foundation. So Jesus said, Peter, come on out here. Peter answered in him and said, Lord, actually Jesus said, it is I, right? Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it's you. Okay, another poll. I won't look. How many of you have ever said that, God, if it's you? If it's you, I'll do this. And somewhere, if you're not careful, in the back of your mind, you're hoping it ain't him because you don't want to do it. Okay. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me. That's a pretty powerful word, isn't it? Command me to come down to you on the water. This is going against everything this man knows. There's things in our life today that's deeper, that's contrary to what we know. We know some things. We know if you're in a certain part of town at night, you better drive fast. We know if there's some poison ivy, don't go in it, because we know what the results are going to be. Peter knew the water. He knew the sea. He knew Jesus. He had been walking with him and seeing miracles by him. And now this Jesus then took it to another level. I'm saying, God, take me to another level. Jesus took it to another level. He's doing the impossible. He's defying gravity. He's walking on the water. What? So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, Peter, okay, you all been on a cruise, on a fishing ship, on the paddle boats at, you know, the amusement park? When's the last time you stepped out of the boat? So, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, this is against everything that this man have known all of his life. But Jesus commanded him to come. He's commanding us to let some things go. Peter came, had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So now Peter is walking to his Lord. In our situations, are we walking toward Jesus with our troubles, with our trials, with our needs, with our hurts, with our pains? Are we walking toward Jesus even though it defies logic? When it's something that needs right now an answer, and you don't have it, and Jesus said, get out the boat. Come on, walk toward me. So the man got out of the boat. When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, see, sometimes you trust in God, you believe in God, and the situation is getting worse. It's not getting any better. The kids are not acting no better. The bills are not going away. The sickness is getting worse. Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to Jesus, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Have anybody ever been afraid since you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been scared of some things? Don't know how this is going to turn out. When he was afraid, and now he began to sink. Why? He had taken his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at the situation that was bigger and greater than him. And now he's going back to hold on to what he had held on all to his life rather than holding on to Jesus and watch him work it out. And here's the thing, though. We got to know sometime we may falter. Sometime we may not trust like we should. But you know the Holy Spirit, he will shake us up, and he will show himself mighty inside of us and bring us to the place where we need to be. And so this is what happened to Peter, and he was afraid and beginning to sink, but he cried out. Somebody not today need to cry out to the Lord. He cried out, and what did he say? Lord, save me. God, I don't understand it all. I walked on the water. Now I'm sinking in the water. I'm been to drown, but God, save me. Lord, save me. And immediately, this is telling me that man should always pray and not faint. Always have faith and trust in our Lord. He said, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You think Jesus is trying to tell us something today? In our lives, in our situations, don't doubt. Don't be of little faith. If you've trusted him, I've said it many times, you've trusted him with your very soul, trust him with your situations. This God who we serve, he wants us to let go and watch him work. Let go of your anger and watch God work. Let go of your past and watch God work. Let go of your malice and let God work. Let go of the old you and watch God work in your life. I'm a witness. He'll do it. He will do it. Let the stuff that, you know, the scripture says in Romans, let me sit down here, but Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses that's gone before us, let us lay aside every weight, some weight, every weight, and the sin of unbelief, and the sin that does so easily beset us, and here's another lettuce, and let us run with patience the race that is set in before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God, thank you. You're showing us who you are. Thank you, Lord. Help us to let go. Some of us have got old and still holding on to stuff from our past. God, help us to give it to you. God, that thing that's right before us right now, God, that promise you've given me, and it seemed like it haven't came, God, give me the let go and watch you work. Because, God, you said it. I'm trusting you. I must be in the place where you want me to be right now. God, that habit that I haven't been able to shake, God, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to watch you work. I was in a situation the other day. I'm done. Jennifer, get ready to bless us with a closing selection. And it was three men. It was a men's breakfast on yesterday. And a couple of the brothers sitting at the table where I was say, well, I'm still an alcoholic. I said, I'm not. I wouldn't be impious. I say, I was an alcoholic. But I'm not still an alcoholic. Because I've read the word where it says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. I'm not going to allow the enemy to keep something on my head, in my mind, in my spirit, telling me something that God say, I'm no longer that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Let it go, saints. Watch God work. I'm letting it go. There's some things I want to see done in the house of the Lord, in my house, in my life circles, and I'm going to let stuff go and watch God work because it's his work. And God say, up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Woo! God bless you. Amen. Amen.